Good evening. In the news tonight, New York City's comptroller issues a scathing report on conditions for children in New York City's homeless shelters. Homeless New Yorkers and advocates are taking legal action against the city over NYPD destroying belongings. Chinatown and Lower East Side Coalition charges de Blasio's rezoning plans are racist. And Richard Wolf on Bernie Sanders' legacy. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Monday, December 21st, 2015.
These families live a daily nightmare.
New York City's comptroller Scott Stringer released a report on the New York City shelter system, home to 58,000, including 23,000 children. Stringer says DHS, the New York City's Department of Homeless Services, puts children at risk.
These families live a daily nightmare, surrounded by peeling paint, feeling the chill from broken windows, and sharing space with rodents, roaches, and other vermin.
The audit identified a number of operational deficiencies.
DHS allowed shelter providers to self-monitor their facilities without oversight, failed to meet the agency's own goal for helping families transition out of shelter and into long-term housing, and regularly failed to sign written contracts with shelters, relying instead on verbal agreements.
New York City's comptroller says we may not be able to solve homelessness overnight, but we can damn well fix leaky roofs and repair broken doors. He's calling on the administration to hire a deputy mayor with skills to create a bold new plan of action on homelessness, and Stringer's calling on DHS to get its house in order. Today, the NYCLU, the New York Civil Liberties Union, filed a notice of claim on behalf of three homeless New Yorkers whose belongings were destroyed by police.
I was sleeping. I was totally asleep. You know? Something kicked me, hit me in my foot, and then a flashlight in my face. You know? I said, yo, you got to get up. I said, for what? Well, you're in possession of stolen property. I said, what are you talking about? I said, that crate is being taken. I said, they said, take your stuff out. And then all of a sudden, he said, no, it's too late.
Floyd is a member of Picture the Homeless. He was sleeping in a small area partly sheltered from the rain in East Harlem with two others. They were awoken with flashlights by police and sanitation workers. They were told they were no longer welcome.
And I'm saying, look, they took everybody's stuff. Hazmat uniforms, apartment sanitation. That bag could be full of somebody's belongings, a suitcase. They don't care. Just throw it right in the garbage. I'm just saying, can I get my stuff out? Let me get my stuff out. And they said, no. I said, you want to go to jail? So I just walked away and just left.
Actions like these come after several months where homeless New Yorkers have been targeted by the NYPD. They've faced orders to move from public spaces, even though they haven't broken any laws. Actions by police and city workers intensified with de Blasio's announcement of Homestat and the mayor urging New Yorkers to identify homeless New Yorkers and report them to 311. This isn't very different from the Sergeants Benevolent Association's campaign, which urged residents to take pictures of homeless people and send them to the city.
Being homeless is hard, but being, like we say, this being abused by these cops is even worse. And it bothers me how we've just been looking over. It bothers me. Really bothered. Sorry, but it makes me emotional because when I get angry, I get emotional because it disgusts me to call myself American, a human being supposed to be disrespected like an animal, like nothing.
Homeless New Yorkers and advocates say the city's reliance on NYPD officers for policing with the goal of moving people from public sites is misguided, that it leads to criminalization without addressing the core issue of permanent affordable housing. Meanwhile, the NYCLU has launched a public education campaign which urges people to ask for humanity in treatment of homeless people. Their campaign has a social media component to it. They are asking New Yorkers to share the importance of their own personal possessions with photos and stories on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter using the hashtag #TheThingsWeCarry. For more information, go to nyclu.org. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. The de Blasio administration has proposed two major zoning changes. One requires builders to include affordable units. The other allows for taller buildings. Both potential changes have faced stiff community opposition. Critics say the ratio of affordable to market rate housing units proposed is insufficient and won't provide enough apartments for low-wage earners. And they say changing the height cap would alter the character of the city's neighborhoods. Dennis Caboto reports.
When we want equal treatment! When we want it!
Now!
A coalition to protect Chinatown and the Lower East Side, workers, tenants, and small business owners rallied outside Gracie Mansion last week to protest what they call Mayor de Blasio's developer-led zoning plans. Mika Nagasaki of the Chinese Staff and Workers Association says Mayor de Blasio is going back on his promises to end the tale of two cities.
Why can't you listen to the people that elected you and that you promised to protect equally? What we're asking for is equal treatment, equal protection, and protect our communities of color against the luxury development that is rampant throughout New York City.
The Chinatown Working Group came up with a plan which would protect affordable housing in the Lower East Side and in Chinatown, and it would limit the number of hotels and big box stores. It would also impose height restrictions. Community members spent 7 years working out the plan, but then the de Blasio administration came in with a compromise, which is a give back to developers. It would raise the height cap in an area which has already seen a flood of luxury hotels and condominiums. This is unacceptable to the coalition. It wants the same protection against raising the cap offered in the East Village zoning plan. The same protections given to the predominantly white and wealthier neighborhood directly north of the Lower East Side and Chinatown. According to Nagasaki, what the de Blasio administration is offering is a betrayal.
Mayor de Blasio was elected by many of us on the promise of ending the tale of two cities. What does he do? He rejects our proposal to protect our communities, which we were promised 7 years ago that we would be protected equally to the East Village. He rejects us. We marched two separate times in September and October. Over 1,000 people marched to City Hall. He didn't come out to meet with us and tell us, you know, where he stood. We had a town hall where over 700 Lower East Side and Chinatown residents, business owners, homeowners, and community groups came out and demanded to know, where does the mayor stand in terms of giving us the type of protection that other communities were afforded.
Alicia Boyd of the Movement to Protect the People says, if residents get pushed out of their houses, it gets pushed out of his.
What's the Blasio?
What's the mayor?
What's the Blasio?
What's the mayor?
The coalition plans to continue to protest the displacement of small businesses, street vendors, and tenants not only in Chinatown and the Lower East Side, but also in Jackson Heights, Corona, and Henmost. Dennis Kabatu, WBI News, New York.
This is the No Trump Zone! If you wait, we'll overthrow! This is the No Trump Zone!
A massive anti-Trump rally took place in Manhattan on Sunday. Members of New York's Muslim community joined with Black Lives Matter activists and others in a unity rally against racism, anti-Muslim bigotry, and fascism. The march began at Trump Tower. It went on to Fox headquarters. Criticism was waged against mainstream and cable news media, which has been giving a megaphone to the billionaire's Islamophobic and immigrant attacks. Signs held by protesters showed anger against Trump. Islam has been in New York for 400 years. Read one sign. Another said, Trump is a capitalist pig, enemy of all workers. Say no to anti-Muslim bigotry. Say no to Trump. Meanwhile, at the Democratic presidential debate Saturday night in New Hampshire, Hillary Clinton took aim at Trump by criticizing his plan to ban Muslims from entering the U.S. She called the leader of the GOP race the Islamic State's best recruiter, saying they are going to people showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists. Standing with two other presidential candidates for the Democratic Party, Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders, Clinton was asked if Wall Street would like her. She said, everyone will like me. Bernie Sanders had a different answer.
Senator Sanders, I want to stay on this and ask you, how big a role does corporate America play in a healthy economy? And will corporate America love a President Sanders?
No, I think they won't. So Hillary and I have a difference. The CEOs of large multinationals may like Hillary. They ain't going to like me. And Wall Street is going to like me even less.
Economic professor Richard Wolff says what Sanders has done is he has opened up a dialogue for a whole new economic system in this country.
Look, Mr. Sanders accepts now that he is a socialist. He puts that label on himself. He doesn't run away from it. Something that is, if nothing else, courageous given the last 50 years of American history. So by doing that, he's putting it right front and center that the Republicans and Democrats are parties, both of whom are deeply committed, as O'Malley and Clinton showed over and over again, to supporting and building and sustaining capitalism. If they want to save us from crony capitalism, it's because they like some other kind of capitalism. If everything is going to be fixed by them, then they mean to keep this system going, just make it work better. At least Mr. Sanders says, no, I am not like them. I am in favor of a different system. He didn't tell us a great deal about what that would mean, and that's perhaps a criticism of him, economically speaking, but that's really small compared to the amazing statement that really comes out of his identity, that he thinks America can do better than capitalism by going in another different direction. And one would hope that in his websites and in his speeches, he can make it clearer to Americans that for the first time, we're going to have maybe a real two-party system in which one set of parties, Republican and Democrat, are big and pro-capitalist, and another part of something we call politics is Bernie Sanders or whatever else he can stimulate, which will be a political party that says, no, I'm something else. I want to go beyond and do better than capitalism, and then Americans will have something really to think about in terms of the basic economic issues we face.
Richard Wolff is a professor of economics. You can hear him on WBAI every Friday morning at 9 a.m. or on our website, WBAI.org. Go to his program, Economic Update. And that's some of the news for Monday, December 21st, 2015. The news tonight was produced with help from Dennis Caboto and Alan Minsky. In New York, I'm Linda Perry for WBAI News.